You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Last week we began our Advent series, and so as we celebrate the coming of Christ, as this season we are celebrating Christ's coming, but we're not just praising God for His coming, we're also praising for His journey to the cross, for His death, for His resurrection, and the fact and the truth that Christ is coming again. So during this season, during this Advent, we are focusing on four truths of who Christ is. Christ is our living hope, and that's what we talked about last week. Christ is also the definition of true love, which we're going to be looking at this morning. And then Christ is our joy, and then Christ is our peace, the peace that passes all understanding. So last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5, and we praised Him, we celebrated Him, we see the truth that Christ is our living hope. True believers, those that have accepted Christ as their Lord, placed their faith and trust and receive that incredible gift of salvation and grace, true believers are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what we saw last week was really incredible, is that this hope that we have in Christ is imperishable. It will never, ever be destroyed. It is undefiled. It will never be polluted. It is unfading. It will never decay. That is the hope that we have in Christ. We celebrate Christ's coming, and we celebrate this living hope that we have through Him. And I hope that your family was able to discuss and look at the Advent devotion this last week and focus even more on that living hope. And I hope that you are keeping the celebration of Christ coming at the center of this season. It is so easy to be distracted, isn't it? Is that true? It's easy to get distracted. I hope that you are leading your family. I hope that your family is reminding and focusing in that Christ is the center of this season. We celebrate His coming. There's this fictitious illustration, this image that pictures Satan and his demons having a Christmas party. And as the demonic guests were departing, one grinned at Satan and said, "Merry Christmas, Your Majesty." At that, Satan growled with a reply, and he said, "Yes, keep it merry. If they ever get serious about it, we'll all be in trouble." My challenge to you, my encouragement to you, my hope is that we would get serious about it. It is the birth of a baby, but it is the coming of God. It is the intervention of God's presence among men. It is the love of God made manifest among us. This is the best gift ever given. Let's get serious about our praise for Jesus. Let's get serious about the gospel. Let's get serious about our sin. Let's get serious about telling others about Jesus. Let's get serious about understanding this incredible love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11, but we're going to be focusing in on two verses this morning. But I want to keep us in the context of this passage. Starting in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This morning, I want to look at this incredible love that God has, because God is love. This love that was made manifest through Jesus as we celebrate Christ's coming. And we see those three very powerful words at the end of verse 8. God is love. And so I want us to understand a little bit more and kind of dive into what this love is, because a lot of people in the world would say, okay, great, God loves us. God is love. And that's kind of where it ends. But we never go much farther than that. We never look at the seriousness and how incredible this love truly is and look at things like our sin. We don't want to get too negative, but then we have to understand what his love is all about. So that's what I want to look at this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10. So first of all, in verses 7 and 8, what we see, the truth that we see that we kind of have to start from, to understand God's love, we need to understand that love is from God. God is the definition of love. God is love. And we, as humans, we can try to define it in human terms, but the truth is that if we want to know what real love is, we have to look to God. We have to start there. We have to look to God because God is love. We can try to understand it, but if we truly, truly want to know what is love, then we have to look at the person, we have to look at God who created it, where love came from. And in verses 9 and 10, what we see is that the proof of God being love, we see the grounds for his love. We see love proven to us through Jesus. And that is incredible. That's what we've got to let soak into our hearts. That love started with God and love is proven to us as people through Jesus Christ. So we see that in this, the love of God was made manifest among us in verse 9, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Let me read that again. Look at verse 9 again. So we see that God is love, and then we see love proven to us. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. What an incredible statement. Think about the enormity and greatness of God's love. And so we see this word manifest, that how is God's love proven to us? It was made manifest. And manifest simply means to make something visible or known to us. God wanted to show us his love. God wanted to prove us his love, to help us to understand that love comes from God. And he did this by making known this love to us. So how did God make his love known or visible to us? God made his love visible and seen, proven by sending his Son so that we might have eternal life through Christ. Now let's stop and just try to let some of that sink in. God loves you. He loves you. God loves you so much that he wanted to prove his love to you, that he wanted you to see it. He wanted me to see his love, to make known to me. And so he sent his Son. God's love is incredible. God's love is amazing. God's love is great. We could think of a bunch of adjectives and they don't seem to do justice to what God's love is. God is love. God showed us his love by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in these two verses, I want us to look at five ways in which we see the greatness of God's love in this passage. Five things that we can pull from this and see how, try to wrap our minds around how great God's love. The first thing is this: God's love caused the sending of his Son. Because of how much he loved us, because God's love is so amazing, it caused the sending of his Son. The very beginning of verse 9, or in the middle, it says, God sent. God sent. Now, these are two very important words in our understanding of God's love. Why? Because this is the opposite of the way we are. Okay? God is the one who sent. Okay? Now, catch this. You see, God is holy, right? God is the one that's holy. There is no sin. There is no darkness in him. Yet he is the one who sent Jesus. Let me try to explain it this way. Imagine before church, and there's a large crowd, and we've got the skinny hallway, and I start really needing a donut, okay? So I make my way down the hall, and Earl is kind of there getting ready to get a donut, and I shove him against the wall. I'm not trying to purposely be mean, but I got to get my donut, and I shove him against the wall, and I get my donut. Now, who should be the one that apologizes? Me? I should be the one that apologizes. I should say, Earl, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I should be the one that apologizes. It shouldn't be Earl that's up against the wall and missing his favorite chocolate-covered donut and say, oh, Chris, I'm so sorry. No. It should be me that apologizes. I mean, think about your kids. If you have kids and several kids and someone, I'm sure your kids never argue, ever. If they were to, wouldn't you say, now you need to go make that right with your brother or sister. You need to be the one that makes that right. Here's the difference. Here's how great God's love is. We were the ones that wronged him. Our sin, we wronged him, yet God is the one who sent his son to make things right. He is the one who sent his only son to make things right. Isn't that incredible? This is how we see God sent. We deserve death, yet God sent. The second thing that we see is that God sent his only son. You notice that God didn't send Jonah or Moses or Joshua or an angel. He sent his only son. He loved us so much that he sent his only son. Jesus, who is divine, who is without sin, our sin caused such a problem and such a mess, it was only the Son of God who could rescue us from our sin. This is how incredible God's love is. What an incredible gift. God's love is so great that he sent his only son to rescue us for our sin. We see, first of all, how great God's love is, that he's the one that sent. And then second, we see that he sent his only son. And the third thing we see is his purpose behind it. A third way that we see the greatness of God's love is through the purpose of God sending his only son. And we see that in verse 9, so that we might live through him. So that we might live through him. This is our only hope, our only hope for forgiveness, our only hope for eternal life, our only hope of a relationship with God through his son Jesus. God's love is massive because he had a purpose so that we might live through him. We praise Jesus. We celebrate Christ's coming. Let us remember that God is love, that God's love is so great, that he's the one that sent. We wronged him, yet he sent. And who did he send? He sent perfect, divine, holy Jesus, his only son. And the purpose to do that was so that we could have eternal life. The fourth thing that we see about God, about his love, about how great he is that God's love originates with God. What does this mean? We see how great God's love is when we understand that love originated with God and not us. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And only after coming to a relationship with God through Christ can we begin to love God and then love each other. Verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Love originated with God. Love originates with God. We don't have the capacity to love. but he loved us first. And then Christ in us, then we begin to be able to love him and to love each other. God's love is great. God's love is amazing. The fourth thing that we see is that God's love is demonstrated by the cost of sending his son. God loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is so important. This is so important that you understand what this word means. It's extremely important that we understand it so we can really gain an understanding of how great God's love is. So I want to camp here a little bit just on this word and how huge it is to our understanding of God. Now, and this is a big word. This is probably not a word that you used last week at work or at school. Did anyone use the word propitiation? Anybody? Okay, I didn't either, actually. Let's all say this word, because I say it in my mind and I read it, and then usually it comes out wrong. So everybody say propitiation. Propitiation. Okay, that's a big word. That's a big stained glass word. That's a big seminary word. But it's so vital. It's in Scripture. And if we're truly going to understand God's love, we need to understand what this means. The definition of propitiation is this: to appease someone's wrath. To appease someone's wrath. And throughout history, humans have been seeking to appease false gods' wrath by offering sacrifices to those gods. Throughout history, throughout religion, whether they were, you know, the Greek gods, or where they were just whatever false gods in their culture, they would appease these gods by offering a sacrifice. And here's the question: why does there need to be a propitiation for our sins? If God is so great and he is full of love, why doesn't he just say, abracadabra, your sins are gone, wave his magic wand? If God is love, why does there need to be a propitiation for our sins? Think about it on our terms. Why didn't our state wave a magic wand and forgive Timothy McVeigh or Terry Nichols for the Oklahoma City bombing? Why didn't we just show up and say, oh, no big deal, you're forgiven? Why? Because that would be a gross violation of justice. And here's what we need to understand. If God did that for us, if he just waved that magic wand and said, no big deal on your sins, if God didn't require this propitiation for our sins, this is what it would do. It would be a complete denial of the seriousness of sin and a gross violation of justice. Does that make sense? Why does there need to be this sacrifice? Why does there need to be a propitiation for our sins? Because if he did not require that, it would be a complete denial of the seriousness of our sin. It would be a violation of justice. Our sin is terrible. It is awful. It leads to, out of God's love for his only son, for him to be crucified on a cross. This is how serious our sin is. And so many times we put sin over here, and we love to talk about God's love and his forgiveness and his grace, but then we don't talk about the seriousness of sin. Because the sin is what led Jesus to the cross. Out of God's love, because God loved us first, because love originates with God, God sent his son to die. This is serious stuff. And the seriousness, if we understand the seriousness of sin, then we begin to grasp how incredible God's love is for us. Because there's so much involved in this word propitiation. We see six attributes of God all converging together. We see his holiness, we see his wrath, we see his justice, we see his mercy, his love, and his grace. Why is there a need for this sacrifice? Why is there a need to appease for our sins? Because our sin is an offense to God's holiness. Do you understand that God is holy, that he didn't do anything wrong? We wronged him. Psalm 47:8 says this: God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. 1 Peter 1:16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Revelation 4:8, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say this: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Are we getting this? God is holy. He has no sin. In him is no darkness. He is not at fault. We are. And God shows that through Scripture, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are the ones that sinned. And our sin is an affront to his holiness. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Okay, you're saying, whoa, hold on, Chris. Oh, wait, I thought this was like a happy Christmas series. We're going to have mangers and shepherds and wise men and God's love and joy. And so you're up here saying that God's wrath is real and that God is angry with me? Yeah. But it's because of this, because of our sin, we understand how awesome and great God's love is for us. This helps us understand how amazing it is that Christ came in this manger to go to the cross to be that sacrifice for us. David Allen, who, professor at Southwestern Seminary, said this. He said, God can be angry with sinners and love them at the same time. Sin violates God's law, and his law demands that justice be done. God is just. He must punish sin. But God is also merciful. He is willing that sinners not receive all they deserve for their sin. And even more, God is love. His love extends to all people. God desires the salvation of all people. You see, the problem is that sinners, we can do nothing to earn God's forgiveness. And so we see God's incredible grace. We see where God does something for us that we could never do for ourselves. And out of his amazing love for us, he paid the price for our sins. He sent his only son. And when Christ went to the cross, he became our substitute. He took the wrath of our sin. The anger of God towards sin fell on him. He took that upon himself. God's love caused this. And that amazing thing happened on that cross. When Jesus was on the cross, God's holiness, his wrath, his justice, his mercy, and his love, and his grace all converged. This miracle. Understanding that Jesus is our substitute, that Jesus is our propitiation, allows us to begin to see how amazing God's love is. People want to talk about God's love, but they don't want to talk about why he sent Jesus. People want this understanding that God just loves everyone and he would never send anybody to hell, that all this stuff. But hell is justice for us. That's what we deserve. Yet God loved us so much, he loved us so much that he sent Jesus so that we could have eternal life. But it takes belief and faith and trust in Christ alone. God loves people. He loves us. But Christ is the only answer to our sin problem. Christ is the only way to salvation. We come together as a church to celebrate that, to praise him for that. His love was revealed to us, made known to us, made manifest among us in Christ's coming, in Christ going to the cross, in Christ rising from the grave, in Christ coming again. This is God's love. Jesus is love. God is love. Because God is holy, his wrath demands propitiation. So God, in his holy love, made a way. God himself, in the person of Jesus, died to fulfill the propitiation for our sins. In David Redding's book entitled Jesus Makes Me Laugh With Him, he writes this. He said, I can give you no gift so precious, no treasure so refreshing, nothing that can provision you for the journey we are all making, than to tell you that someone is searching diligently for you. He is not a stationary God. He is crazy about you. The expense to which he has gone isn't reasonable, is it? The cross was not a dignified ransom. To say the least, it was a splurge of love and glory lavishly spent on you and me. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. A shepherd having 100 sheep, if he loses one, leaves the 99 to go after the one and searches diligently until he finds it. God is that shepherd. And that is enough to make me laugh and cry. God is his love. God loved you first so that we might be able to love him. And so what is our response this morning to this love lavishly given to us through Jesus? What is our response to this love? To the lost, to those that don't know Jesus, that don't have a Savior in Christ, to the lost, I pray that the gospel, that the Holy Spirit is penetrating your heart this morning, that you are seeing and understanding that God loves you. He loves you. But at the same time, you understand and see that your sin has separated you from God, and the only answer to that sin problem is Jesus Christ. But I hope you see that God is the one that sent his son. We wronged him, yet he loved us, so he sent. Will you respond to that love this morning? To the Christian, to those that know Christ, that know Jesus, I pray that the love of God would come crashing down on you this morning like a wave. That you would be reminded of his love. I hope that you see the seriousness of sin and you are reminded of how much God loved you and sent Christ to take your sin. To the children, where are all the children? Look at me. To the children, I hope that when you set up your nativity scenes at home, if you have those, or when you see the little baby in the manger, that you would see and think about God's love made manifest, made known to us through Jesus. I hope those images of the wise men or the nativity scenes or the angels, that I hope those images don't just bring the idea of getting stuff or presents, but I hope that you think about Christ as your Savior, that God loved us so much that Jesus came, that he sent him. God's love made manifest through Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. God, we are so humbled. We are so unworthy of your love, yet you loved us first. Our sin is so filthy and disgusting. It's an affront, it's an offense to your holiness because you are holy, Lord. Yet out of your love, we see that love originates with you, that love that caused you to send your son, that you sent it, that you gave us away that we might live forever in a relationship with Christ. That your holiness and wrath and justice and love and mercy and grace, all of those things converged on the cross. We thank you so much for Jesus. I pray if there's anyone here that needs you this morning, that they would not just walk out that door, but they would. I just pray the Holy Spirit's working on their heart. I pray for the Christian here this morning that we would not just be numb, but that we would begin and remember and be reminded and feel and sense the presence of your love in our life, and to be reminded of that our sin is serious, and that understanding that we would gain a newness for your love, Lord. Be reminded of how powerful and great and amazing your love is. I pray for this time as we worship you, as we continue to praise and sing praises, that you would stir and work in our hearts this morning. We give you all the glory. We give you the glory. We praise you for being the God, the one true God, and praising you for sending your son, Jesus. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship. If you need to come, if you need to come and kneel, if you need to pray, if you need to come and just repent of sin and to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for becoming numb to my sin. Thank you for your love. If you need to come and accept Christ this morning, come. If you need to come and pray for those that are lost, that God would give you opportunities to share the gospel, then let's pray. Let's sing.